All right. So this is the first of a projected two on Hukafadira, which I view as a subset of Rishus Hayachid, although legitimately it could be read as a subset of Carmelis. But it's here. And Hukafadira, or not Hukafadira, depending on how you look at it, but a space which is either is or is not set up for living in. That's a very poor definition, but that's what I'm going to say just as we begin. The problematic area is an area that is not ladira, that is fundamentally not for dwelling in. In other words, in addition to the other rules that we have that define a rishus hayachid, you know, having walls, being set apart from other domains, having certain dimensions, there is a rule that a rishus hayachid has to be meant for residence in order for us to consider it a rishus hayachid. I'm ignoring the Rashi and Shabbos.
I mentioned it to them, but okay. I'll mention it again next week.
Okay. The karfeif that we discuss is often hukaf, meaning that it is enclosed, so that it is a biblical rishus hayachid, we think. But we also need to discuss an area that is not hukaf and not fridira. And that's why I emphasize that what we're talking about is a space which it's much more about whether it is for living in or not living in than it's about whether it is walled or not walled. That's really what I want to make sure to get at. Because the space is not intended for living in, Chazal call it a karmelis. Now, this may apply to a small space. It may apply to a large space. The primary case that we're familiar with is the case that's more than Beis Hasayim, right? More than the size that we're going to have to define. However, the truth of the matter is that a small space that is not Ladira also will have Carmelis aspects. Did you get to that in your Hachana, the space that's less than Beis Hasayim?
That's a making the space less than Beis Hasayim.
Right, that's a different thing. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna have to see that too. But the basic principle, and certainly the basic issue, is the issue that is discussed regarding the large space of, as the Gemara in Erevin Samach Zayin Amud Beis puts it, I didn't bring it on the sheet because it's a longer sugya there than we really need for this, but it's Samach Zayin Amud Beis when it says, Dilma Amri Rishus Hayachid Gemurahi Va'asila Taltule Bechulei. The concern is that people are going to view this. Well, that's really not... I shouldn't have brought that quote at all, actually. Scratch that from my notes. The concern is that people are going to think that that this is Erishus HaRabim, and that it's okay. What I brought in there for Erevin Samach Zayin is a different discussion altogether. It shouldn't have been there. We often use the term karfeif in association with this space. As we saw back in Elulzman, karfeif refers to, according to at least 98% of people who write on this topic, a yard that is used to store wood. As noted by the Bi'ur Halacha, the word karfeif, you know, refers to all such storage enclosures. I brought it for you on your sheet in source Aleph. He writes in the beginning of Simon, the Bi'ur Halacha, in the beginning of Shin Nun Tes, Da arba shemos yesh be'inyan zeh. Know that there are four different names for this type of space we're talking about. Karmelis, Karfeif, Rechava, and Chatzer. And he goes through each one. And on Karfeif, he writes, V'shem Karfeif kolel beinim hu yesem yisasayim, o beisasayim, hukfuladira lo hukfuladira. He says it doesn't matter whether it is large or small. It doesn't matter whether it is ladira or not ladira. The word karfeif is a term that we use for spaces that are for spaces that are storage areas.
What do you mean? It doesn't matter if it's large or small. Yeah, it does both large.
No, beis hasayim means beis hasayim or less.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. In general, they're very clear that the beis hasayim is included with the less than side. Yeah, they take pains to point that out. So we're just calling this, we're using this term karfeif, which leads us to ask, so why is it that you bother using the word karfeif in particular? Why'd you pick karfeif as opposed to any other name? And then the Nesiva Shabbos asks this question in Perek Yud Beis, footnote 2, and his answer is Tishrug. It's weird, but it's so. Okay, so what are the applications of calling this large space that is not Hukaf Ladira a Carmelis rather than a Rishus Hayachid? What is it? What do we accomplish by calling this a Carmelis? What Isurim do we now introduce?
Tiltul.
The well, Dildal, right, I'm not allowed to transport within it more than 4 amos, assuming that it's more than Beis Hasayin. Right? What else?
Can't transport.
Can't transport between it and a Rishus HaYachid house. This is going to apply even if it is smaller than Beis Hasayin.
The same would apply out to Rishus HaRabin too, right?
Right, but they discuss the Rishus HaYachid. That's the because they talk about where you have Caleb in your house and you want to transport them into the carpet. And if it is not walled, or if there's a big gap in the wall, and this karfev is located within a larger Rishus HaYachid, it may prohibit transport in that larger Rishus HaYachid, right? The issue of Nifritz al Makom HaAsurla. So that's, you know, that's the major issue that relates this to, you know, our community Erevin. However, the relationship between its biblical status as Rishus HaYachid and its rabbinic status as a Carmelis of sorts is interesting. It's not straightforward. Meaning, we treat it strictly like a Rishus HaYachid as far as transport. This actually is what you were asking about. We treat it strictly as a Rishus HaYachid as far as transport from a Rishus HaRabin.
Right.
In other words, take a look at the Rambam in source base. Makom shel hukaf ledira el shayya tashmisho la'avir. Right? Not hukaf ledira. Tashmisho la'avir we're going to come back to explain. But a place that is not hukaf ledira, it is not enclosed for the sake of dwelling in. Kigon, ginos, pardesim, the gardens, the orchards. Kigon hamakif makom min ha'aretz l'shomro kayotze bohen. He encloses a space in order to guard it. And again, more to talk about with that. Im yesh begova hamachitzos asaret fachmo yeser hare hu kirishus hayachid. So if its walls are 10 tefach high, it is a Rishus HaYachid. As far as the Chayev HaMotzi V'Hazorik V'Hamoshim Yimenu Rishus HaRabim V'Rishus HaRabim L'Socho. As far as its relationship with the Rishus HaRabim, we look at it on its biblical level as a Rishus HaYachid. However, Vein Metaltin Bekulo, you can't transport in the entire thing. Elam Kin Yeshba Beis Hasayim Opachos, unless it's less than Beis Hasayim. And if it's more than Beis Hasayim, you're only allowed to transport Arba Amos, right? Like a Carmelis. So in other words, what the Rambam is highlighting is we don't really consider it fully like a Carmelis because we default to its biblical status as a Rishus HaYachid insofar as liability for transport from a Rishus HaRabim. And that comes back to Shabbos Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, right? In general, the issue of an Issur D'Oraisa. That's number one. Number two, on the other hand, there is a remarkable kula meant to prevent us from really seeing it as a Rishus HaYachid. This is that Erev in Samach Zayin Amud Beis that I mentioned before, right? That brought you here from the Rashba Avodas HaKodesh in Source Gimel. Pa'amim Mishai Kelu v'hitiru l'talpa mekarfif l'karmelis. In some cases, they're lenient and allow you to transport from a karfif into a karmelis. Ketzad, sela yaseh beis hasayim shibayam. You have the stone at sea that is large enough to be more than a Beis Hasayim. Metaltim minayam l'socho mitocho l'yam. You're allowed to transport from it into the yam being a Carmelis, and back and forth. I don't know what you're doing there on Shabbos. Lefisha karfev yihayesim yibeis hasayim asuka karmelis shei metaltim bo ala ba'arba amos. Because we view the karfev, the sela, the stone, as a Carmelis, and I added in bold, vimbas la'osro imak, or I added the bold, the text itself it says, vimbas la'osro imak Carmelis, if you were to say that you're not allowed to transport from this thing into the Carmelis. Choshin shema yomer rishus hayachidu kishar karfefos shein yisir al beis hasayim yitalta bakulo. There's a concern that people will view it as a rishus hayachid. So in order to prevent people from viewing it as a full rishus hayachid, we will allow you to transport from it into a Carmelis. So what I'm trying to get at here is, on the one hand, we add isurim, which wouldn't apply if it was a rishus hayachid. Right? You're not allowed to transport within it if it is large. You're not allowed to transport between it and a Rishus HaYachid house, even if it's not large. And it can prohibit transport in the larger area in which it is included, assuming that it is not fully enclosed. It is a Carmelis. However, it's a Rishus HaYachid as far as the Issur D'Oraisa of transporting from a Rishus HaRabim. And it's going to be treated as a Carmelis to allow transport into another Carmelis, even though it's really a Rishus HaYachid.
You have an explanation for why you would set up some sort of zera to prevent you from carrying in a Carmelis? I mean, the way that, you know, the Mara and the Rishon Ramin HaSeach is, we are worried if we don't remind you it's a Carmelist, you'll end up violating what, the Isser Darabon of carrying in a Carmelist?
My answer is the same thing we had said, you know, earlier on our first go round about this. Chad Xerahi and move on.
I mean, yes, but you know, it just sounds so strange. Like that's what we're worried about. But
yes, it does.
Just to back up a second, what in the Rambam, where at the very beginning, Makom Shalukaf Lejer Leshiye Tashmisha La'avir, what is Tashmisha La'avir exactly?
So we have to come back to that. Okay. We will get there. It may not be today, but I'm trying. So I make no promises. But yeah, practically every Hebrew term that I've used in the past 10 minutes, we are going to have to come back to and re-explain. So we begin by talking about the size of the space. When we talk about a threshold of base sasayim, what is a base sasayim beyond a space of two saw? What is that? What does that mean? So the classic answer is 5,000 square amos, based on the yard of the Mishkan, which is all told 100 by 50. The Gemara in Erevin Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Base, brought here first from the Mishnah on Yitzayin Beis Yechesam at Aleph. Source Dalit. Rav Yehuda Omer Ad Beis Sasayim. I added the words that are in brackets. He's talking about Hasei Biraos, the issue of the corner enclosures around the well, the cistern on the road. And he says there's a maximum space you can have within your Hasei Biraos. The maximum space is this Beis Sasayim, to which the Chachamim responded and said, "Who are you kidding? Amrula, lo Amru Beis Sasayim, aleginav karfeif." They said, "No, Beis Sasayim is only a threshold as far as karfeif considerations." Avalam hayadir o sachar, or some have sahar, o muktza o chatzer, but if it's a space that is called hukav ladiro, one of these four, dir, sahar, muktza, chatzer, then however large it is fine. Afilu chamishas kurin, afilu asar kurin, doesn't make a difference. That's the Mishnah that you have in source Dalet. The next Mishnah that we jump to is the Mishnah from Chof Gimel Amar Aleph. Va'od Amar of Yehuda ben Bava, Yehuda ben Bava also said, Hagina v'akarfev shehein, and I added in the words that are in brackets, Shivim Amo v'shirayim, al Shivim Amo v'shirayim, u'kef as geder gavoa asar tvachim betalpulin besocha. He says, if you have a gina or a karfev, which is 70 and change, by 70 and change, and it has a wall, you're allowed to transport within it, as long as shomira obeis dira, you need some kind of a dwelling within it, even just the guardhouse. Ojde smuchala yir, it has to be close to the city. Once you hit 70 plus, and anywhere north of that, right, 70 plus or larger, you can transport within it only with a beis dira, or it being near the city. Yes?
Is that what the filu rock shiving mama v'shirayim is?
That's my point, is to say that's the minimum to trigger this requirement. Below that, you don't need a base
trigger the bilba, yes.
Okay. Correct. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu ein bala bor v'shiyachu ma'arim etalplin besoch. He says, no, just a usable space, the cistern, the ditch, that's fine. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu ein ba'achas mikol elu metalplin besoch. Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need any of that. Ubavad shehein ba, as long as it has, and there I have the rock, as the maximum, shiv mama v'shirayim ha-shiv mama v'shirayim. And then Rabbi Eliezer comes in with the rectangle, which we're going to come back to. But that's the Mishnah on which the Gemara asks in Source Vav, Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're fine as long as it's up to 70 and change, is the same as the Tanakama, meaning in Source Dalet the Amrulo. That's why I brought you both Mishnayos. So the objection is, something happened on my source sheet there. Need to note this. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva is the same as the Amrullah back there. What did he add? Ikebeinayu dover muat. And the answer is that there is a small amount over. What do you mean? Disanya, as the Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer dover muat yesh al shivim ama v'shirayim v'lonasu chachamim boshir. That there's something over and above the 70 and shirayim, and the Chacham did not give a precise amount for it. The kamashir sasayim, and what is the sasayim? Kachatzar mishkan. So in other words, saying shivim ama v'shirayim is slightly less than base sasayim. That's the idea. How do you know to end up with the 70 and change anyway? Menani mili. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Kra, Orech Chatzer Me'av Amav, V'Rochav Chamishim B'Chamishim. So the length of the yard of the Mishkan is 100. The width is 50 by 50. And it's that second 50 that doesn't belong. Meaning it's Rochav Chamishim. What's Rochav Chamishim b'Chamishim? So Amar Torah, Tol Chamishim b'Saviv Chamishim. The Torah is telling you to take 50 and then take the other 50 and lay it out in strips around the first 50, and that's how you're going to end up with your measure. If you want to walk through the geometry game, the Aruch HaShulchan does a nice job of it in Shin Nun Ches Beis to explain how you can lay out all the strips. But the bottom line is you will end up with 70 and change. If you want to be more precise, 5,000 is the square of 70.71. So 70.71 is your measure. That's your shivim v'shirayim and ode and whatever else you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is that in our measurements? So I brought you in source Zion from a shir from Rabbi Simon, notes that are available from his shir. Note that
more
if you...
in the book.
But if you listen to his audio that's recorded on YU Torah, the numbers are wrong. And in the certain notes that accompany the upload, he tells you, no, don't listen to those numbers, it's these numbers. Someone has to, you know, edit the audio in order to put that in, and then I'll be fine. But source Zion is the ones that he wants you to see. So I apologize to the Canadian for the fact that these are in square feet. But
except for the Negro's motion. Except for the Negro's motion, he's not in square feet. He should speak.
Oh, that's a typo, sorry. Now he's in square feet also, at least on my computer. So you see numbers there, 12,400, 15,679, 18,204, all very nice. The bottom line is 70.71 amos by 70.71 amos, and then everything else depends on what your amma is and the kind of amma that you are measuring with.
It's not so big.
Right, no, it's not big at all. I mean, realistically, this is not big at all. I mean, for reference, a mile is 5,280 feet. But keep in mind, you're dealing with square footage.
A square mile is
monstrous compared to this. Correct. No, I mean, you're all hopefully math capable. You can see that, you know, this is nothing. I mean, this is, you know...
Well, what is an acre in square feet?
Right, so I'm not responsible to know acres or dunams, but you can type it into Google and see fairly quickly. But even if you told me, I wouldn't have a frame of reference for an acre, so that wouldn't really help me.
Aren't most house plots, I guess it depends on the neighborhood.
Yeah, not Thornhill.
No, obviously not Thornhill.
In Thornhill, they're an A. An A and half of a C.
43,560 square feet. So this is a third of an acre. This is a fourth of an acre. Fourth of an acre.
Yeah. It's a very small space.
This is the size of a house. This is what costs $14 million.
So just as an explanation for why we care about the Yard of the Mishkan and why that has anything to do with anything, the answer is that when the Chacham made this Gezerah, they took the Yard of the Mishkan because they said, look, the Mishkan's yard was not Ladira, was not for dwelling in, and we have to come back to why that's true later. But the Mishkan's yard is not for dwelling in, and yet it's viewed as a Rishus Hayachid. Right? It's viewed as a fully fledged private domain. So we're not going to create a rule which is going to convert the Mishkan's yard into a Carmelis. Because that's just a bad idea. So we're starting from there and upward. That's the idea. They didn't actually say the part about it being a bad idea. And the reason I stress that is because what they would end up doing hypothetically, well, no, they wouldn't. If I remember, I'll explain later what it was that I just decided not to say. But I don't want to confuse things. The bottom line is they use the Mishkan's yard as the threshold. However, there is this other possibility which we skipped in that Mishnah, which is the rectangle. Where if it's a rectangle with a high length to width ratio, it may also be rendered as a Karviv Shenahukov Ladira. If you take a look back at that last line in Source Hay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Im Haisa Arka Yeser Al Rochba Afilo Amma Achas Ein Mitaltlin. Rabbi Eliezer said, even if the length is an Amma longer than the width, you can't transport there. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, and he's the one who gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Afilo Arka Pishnaim Barachba Mitaltlin Besocha. He says, even if the length is twice the width, and meaning only up to that, even though he says afilu, which in many cases means and more, I don't believe that's how the Shulchan Aruch takes it. Well, I know the Shulchan Aruch does not take it that way here. But he's saying up to double the width, you're still okay. That's his statement. So the question is, what happened? Why the rectangle? What is the rectangle of any significance here at all? So two different explanations with a nafka mina between them. The Mishnah Brura's approach is that makes it a big space, assuming the length is more than 100 amos. So if you take a look at source Ches, Ubavach Shaloye Orko, etc., Dahainu Shaloye Akoponim Orko Yosemi Meya Amo, that the length should not be more than 100 amos. In other words, when we say Orka Pishnayim Berochba, we're assuming a Rocha of a 50.
Right.
So if the Orech is at least 100, then Dekoshu Shedach Gadol, anytime it's a big space, Af Ba'orech Lachud, even if it's only big lengthwise, Michlef Iver Rishus Harabim Bekarmelis. People might come to confuse it with Rishus Harabim, people might come to confuse it with Karmelis. But they didn't go less than 100 amos on the length. And the reason is because you don't want to declare the yard of the Mishkan to be a problem. And the yard of the Mishkan has 100 lengths, so therefore we're saying if the length is north of that. And what that means is that, let's say, 110 by 30, right, is going to be a problem. 90 by 40 is not going to be a problem. 90 by 40 is okay because your length is less than 100.
Oh, even though it's a little... Yeah.
Even though it's more than double, 110 by 30, on the other end, is going to be a problem. Even though it's less than Beis Sasayim. That's the idea. The Nesivos Shabbos does have a little bit of a discussion, not a lot, but a little bit about what if the width is less than 4 amos. Right? If you have a corridor that is, you know, 100 amos long and 3 amos wide, are you really going to call that this, Karv Shaluk of Ladira?
But is Maskana?
I think not, if I remember, but I don't remember for sure, because I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on this hypothetical, outdoor, unroofed corridor of these dimensions. If you start, let's say, running bulls or something, maybe there's issue where this needs to be discussed.
I mean, I guess it'd be a narrow alleyway, but 150 feet long.
Yeah. I mean, hypothetically possible, sure. Stay away from it on Shabbos. The in which you want to transport things, mind you. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different take on this in source tests. He writes, "In Arko Yeser al Rochbo Yoser mi bikiflayim, if the length is more than double the width, Tzarech Hekev Ladira, you have to have Hekev Ladira. But Tam Ibnesha b'chatzar Mishkan lohaisa Arko Yoser mi kiflayim b'rochbo." He says it's not because of the length of the Mishkan being 100; it's because of the Mishkan itself being 2 to 1. So that's all that he cares about. He doesn't mention anything about the length being minimum 100. So as far as he's concerned, if it's 90 by 40, you have an issue. Right? Where with the Mishnah Brura would not.
And is there a reason for that? Like why we care about these dimensions?
Only because it's Mishkan dimensions. That's all. Our parallel to the Mishkan is not only in terms of Sasayim. Our parallel to the Mishkan is also...
Yeah, but like according to that, a 6 by 2 is also a problem.
Right, so the Nesivos Shabbos...
A 5 by 12, like...
Yeah, no, so the Nesivos Shabbos on this, it's in Perek Yud Beis, it's at the end of Ha'arahei, says, yeah, even the Aruch HaShulchan has to have a minimum shear, but I don't know what it is, he didn't say.
This room is... that's not good. There are definitely small rooms that are...
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have a roof on them, you're okay.
Fine, but...
So the upshot of what we've said is that we now know that there is a space that is not intended for living in, that may have walls, may not have walls, but that is going to be treated as a karmelis as far as transporting within it, or transporting between it and a rishus hayachid, or as far as transporting in the larger rishus hayachid in which it is located. However, it is a rishus hayachid as far as not transporting from a rishus rabbim into it. We go back to the biblical status. And we will treat it as a karmelis to the extent of allowing you to transport into a karmelis, even though it really is a rishus hayachid. In terms of the size of the space, we've said 70.71 amma by 70.71 amma. We gave Rabbi Simon's dimensions, and we said that that there's also this issue of a rectangle. Either, according to the Mishnah Brura, if it's a rectangle of one side being more than 100 and double the width, then even if it's not based sasayim, nonetheless you have a problem. Or the Aruch HaShulchan in Shinun Ches Dalid, who says that it's just if the length is more than twice the width, although we think there does have to be some kind of minimum shear, because otherwise it really doesn't make sense. That brings us to the question of defining dira. When we say that this is a space that is not meant for living in, so can someone please explain to me what living in looks like? So the answer is maybe. The Gemara in Erevin Chav Beis Amud Aleph is our starting point. Source Yud with the rule of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. You got that far in your Hachana, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Kol Avir Shetashmisha Ledira Kigon Dir Vesahar Muktzav Achatzer. As long as its space, its Avir, is intended for dira, for living in, and he gives these four spaces as examples. We're going to come back to what they are, but basically dir and sahar are types of pastures, muktza and chatzer are types of yards, afilu beis hameshes kurin ubeis aseres kurin mutter. Doesn't matter how large they are, you're good. It's for living in. Whereas if the function of this enclosed space is, or not enclosed necessarily, but the function of the space is for the air, literally, like the guard huts that are found in the fields, where the guard hut is not meant for living in, the guard hut is meant for serving the field, Beis Asayim Mutter, then if the area is up to Beis Asayim, you're okay, except I mentioned that there are certain ramifications, even for one that's less than Beis Asayim. But right now, he's telling you, up to Beis Asayim, you're okay. Yes, I mean, Beis Asayim, Asur. If it's more, then you have a problem. And note there, it's up to Beis Asayim inclusive, and then over Beis Asayim is where the problem begins. That's the statement that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar makes. So if it is Tashmisho Ladira, if it's intended for living in, whatever that means, then it's Rishus HaYachid. If it's not, even if it has a residence, it has a dira. However, the goal is to serve the space, then it's a karmelis. Now, there are two kinds of spaces that are dira shetashmisho la'avir. One kind is the area contains a residence, but the residence is there to take care of that which is beyond it. In other words, what I think of it as a chisaron in dira. It's lacking in terms of the dira. It's not really called living there. Because... I'm going to give you one right now. But it's not called living there if you are there only to take care of the larger space. So an example of that would be the garden, as mentioned in the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, where they said the Gina, right? The goal of the residence is to protect the plants, as noted by the Mishnah Brura in Source Yid Aleph, Shinun Ches Beis. He says, Kigon Gino Su Pardesim, Shemakivim Osam, you do wall them in, but rak lishmor asaperos vazom shebesochan, but only in order to guard the produce that's there. V'hu adin karfeif shu hekev gadol chutz la'ir la'achna sham etzim la'otzar, or the karfeif, which is meant for storing the wood. It's a problem of lack of dira. Another example would be the borgenin, right? These are the guard huts. They're just there to guard the field. The second type is where the wall of the area is the wall of the residence, the whole space is a residence, but the wall is meant for the space outside it, not for the space inside it at all. And it's what I think of as a chisaron in hukuf ledira. In other words, there is, hypothetically, dira, but it's not hukuf, it's not walled in, it's not enclosed for the sake of dira. And that's what Rashi says here in the Gemara in Source Yud Beis. Right, the Rashi on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, v'chol dira shetashmisha la'avir. So he writes, shehi mechusa begag, it has a roof, v'yasura asuya l'shmiras avir shechutzala, but it is meant to protect the space around it. An example of that is the tree overhang case. I brought you two Rashis on the tree overhang case because it's interesting to see the difference between them. If you take a look at Sars Yud Gimel, Right? Ilan Shaya Mesach ala Aretz. You have a tree, the weeping willow, right, where it's hanging down on the ground, the overhanging the ground. Imein gufo gavoa min aretz shlosha tfachim etatlin tachtav. The text we have here is gufo, not nofo. So if it is not three tefach above the ground, you're allowed to transport underneath it and so on. And on that, the Gemara says, Amar of Huna Breder of Yeshua, ein metatlin bo yesi beisasayim, not more than a beisasayim. Then you would not be allowed to transport there. My time, oh why? Mishum dahavi dirish atashmisha la'avir. Because in that case, it's meant for the space outside it. V'chol dirish atashmisha la'avir metatlin bo yesi beisasayim, and you have a cap of beisasayim. Now, what does he mean when he says it's for the avir, for the space outside it? So Rashi there, in Source Yadalit, explains. Eina lidor batamid. It is not meant to be lived there in perpetually. El histofeif bashomrei, the parentheses is not mine, hasadeh. It is not meant for people to live there, it's meant for the guards to be able to relax there a little bit.
It's almost like the guardhouse. The tree is the equivalent of the guardhouse.
Right. The only difference between this and type 1 is that type 1, the residence itself is there to take care of that which is beyond. And in type 2, the enclosure, the whole enclosure, is meant to take care of the space that you're not actually living in. The funny thing is the Rashi on Tesvav, which I brought you in Source Tesvav, where he says on Mishum Davi Dirish Atashmisha La'avir La'olam Shinata Mitchila Lekach V'hekef L'dirahu Aval Dirazu Eina Asuya L'tzarech Tocha L'tzarech Avir Shechutzla. He's dealing with a tree also. The tree was planted with intention that people should actually live underneath the shade. However, it's for the sake of the space outside, Lidor Sham Shomrei Hasados, for the guards to live there. And it's to save them from the sun, and you only have to base assignment, he brings you Shem Ben Elazar's rule, and then you get to the part I bolded at the end, Dilav Dirahu, or he, Dial Karcho Hu Darsham. He doesn't want to be there. He adds this defining characteristic of Dira. What's your reason for being there? Are you there only so that you can take care of the space beyond, or are you there because this is where you want to be? That's the interesting distinction that you can see between the two presentations in Rashi. Okay.
So with the in Yud Gimel, he says in Ein Gufo Gavoa Min Ha'aretz Shlosha Tefachim, meaning the branches have to be. That's why he said weeping willow.
Yeah.
Because then it has.
Yeah. Okay. Right. As opposed to, I was thinking about the oaks that you see in Charleston.
Well, those do. Some of them.
Don't they like run like really lateral to the ground and low?
Yeah, so they have an enormous, what is it called, the angel oak. That would be, it does touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the same as the weeping willow then, no?
No, because all along, it's not three tefach above the ground. The weeping willow is higher, and then arches.
Oh, but that tree is also, it does, yeah, some of the branches go very low, but some of them go very high also.
So that's an interesting question. But I view that as three tefach off the ground, because part of it is, and part of
are you saying if the whole branch?
Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me that we're talking about that all branches are all.
No, that's not doing it.
Okay. So that's the beginning of this in terms of defining dira, is to say it has to be for the sake of the space inside. But we need a better definition to work with for dira and you know how we are defining and classifying this. So Rashi gives us a little bit to work with. Rashi on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, I brought it for you in Source Tes Zayin, Kol Avir Shtashmisho Ladira. Rashi writes, Ava Bishayinu Makura, even though it doesn't have a roof. Im Tashmisho Ladiras Adam Lekinisa Liitzia Tamid. It is meant for going in and out perpetually. You see that?
Yeah. You didn't bold the Knesset Leitzia, though.
No.
Which, right, may also be important, but it's Dira just means that, yeah. You know.
You'll see why. That was on purpose.
Okay.
But some kind of perpetual, yes, as he says, going in and out. Now, we're going to discuss later, God willing, when we talk about the status of gardens. But Rashi wants to make sure that the place will be perpetually available for living in. He emphasizes this also on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Source Yud Zayin, where he says, Nizra Rubo, right, talking about where you have an area that has seeds, plants, not trees, but just vegetation, planted there, bizeronim, bitel dirasso. So that gets rid of the dira status. The bizeronim lo dairi inshi, because people don't live among these sorts of plants. Vahavalagina, that's called a gina. Vahasu the taltel akbisha eno nizra. So you're not allowed to carry through any of it, including the part that doesn't have these plants. Debatale legabe ruba, because that is nullified to the part that does have the plants. Aval benotea ilanos, but if you plant trees, lobita dira, so that doesn't get rid of your dira. Why? De orchal is dofe betel ilanos, tamid, because people stay under the tree perpetually. Again, it's the tamid that I think is something that's very important to notice. So that's the position that Rashi takes, and we saw it also, I think, earlier in Kufamad Aleph when he explained that the tree was La'avir, Eina Lidor Ba Tamid. Right? It was the one that was in Source Yadalid.
Right. So, presumably, if you had a guard who was hired to actually live in the botanical gardens. Right.
Well, that raises exactly that question.
Meaning, because that, right, but then he would live there, tamid.
But the question is it quote living if he's only there to serve the space? So I want to come back to it.
Right, but it would sound like from Rashi that it's the Rashi on Kofa Mabe, it sounds like because it wasn't there for someone to be there all the time, that's not living. But if you set up a real house, like camp directors, right? It's not they don't really want to live in, the mountains all year. They'd rather be at their house. And,
they don't. Camp directors generally don't. There are some who do, but generally speaking, they don't live in the camp.
What?
Whatever.
There are those who live. What?
I think that's what you're saying. They don't
want to
live.
They don't want to, but they have a full set of house because they have to be there so much, right? It's not like their contract says they have to be on premises 6 months a year, right? So it's, they have a full set of house. The house isn't l'shem, dira, but it is dira.
Right. Well, right now what we're defining, because there are other things that have to be added here, but right now what we're saying is, it seems from Rashi, perpetually available, so that the tree doesn't eliminate that, so I'm good. As opposed to the vegetation that do eliminate that, which would then be a problem.